We're holding on page Nun Tes in Brachas Ois Pebes. And we learned yesterday about the Gemara quoted the pasuk Gilu Bir Oda, Bimkoim Gilu Tehesham Ra'oda, that even that at a time when you're happy, there still needs to be a certain Ra'oda, there still needs to be a certain trembling and fear in front of Hashem. Page Nun Tes in Brachas. So now, continuing on that topic, here is one of those examples, by the way, where Ein Yaakov has things a little out of order of how it was, of how it is in the Gemara. In the Gemara, this next piece is in the middle of the previous piece that we had, and then later on, you have further down the Amud, the part that we learned yesterday about Einu Nim Leispalo, that you have to stand up to Davin, Mitarch Simcha Shal Mitzvah, and so forth. So the Mechaber, the compiler of Ein Yaakov, put it in a different order, apparently, because like this, the topic goes better, the topic flows better together. Anyway, the Gemara says, Ma Brei D'Ravina Obed Hilula L'Brei. Ma Brei D'Ravina made a wedding for his son, Chazan Hu L'Rabbanan to have a Kobad Chituva. He saw at this wedding that the Chachamim there were being extremely overhappy. Now, again, you know, it's a wedding, you have to be B'Simcha, but he thought that it's going a little too far. Icy Kosa de Mukra, so he took a glass cup, Rashi says specifically Zechuchas Lavona, which means clear glass, so clear glass or crystal or whatever, it was a very expensive cup, Bas Tof Zuzi, that was worth 400 Zuz, V'tover Kamayu, and he broke it in front of them, V'yatzivu, and that made them, that saddened them, and therefore that kept their simcha within bounds. Tosfos, in fact, points out this is the source why it is that we break a cup by chuppah. Yeah. Why dafka did he use a glass cup? So there's a few different explanations. Marsha explains that glass, to begin with, is made from sand. And you break it, that's it, it's gone. The same way, it helps remind everybody that the person is like that also, Adam Yisodim may offer, and eventually he's going to die, and therefore that would help them keep their simcha within bounds. Eitz Yosef points out another point from the Tzlach, that you also have, suppose that a glass keli becomes tame, you can break it and reform it, and the trauma is gone. In the same way, a person can break his spirit and do tshuva, and then that way that fixes him up. So that was the idea. Another example, Rav Ashi Ovad Hilulo Livrei. Similarly, Rav Ashi was making a wedding for his son, Chazanu L'Rabbanan to have a kabad chituva. The Tover Kamayu, we broke it in, did I skip those words? The Tover Kamayu, we broke it in front of them, the Iyatzivu, and then they were saddened by that. Which, by the way, Yad Yosef points out that usually you would be also to do that, it would be Baltashkis. But here he's doing it for a positive purpose in order to temper their simcha, so therefore it was allowed. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Ovid Hilulu Librei, by the same token, Rav Ashi made a wedding for his son, Chazanu L'Rabbanan to have a Kabad Chituva. He also saw that the Rabbanan there are being overly happy. Os Icy Kosid was a Gisich Hivarta. So he brought a cup of white or clear glass. So the previous one was Kosid de Moikra. Rashi translates the same thing. It means Kostros Chokas Lavana. So according to Rashi, at least, there's no difference between Kosid de Moikra and Kosid was a Gisich Hivarta. They both mean a cup of clear glass or crystal or something like that. So there are different usages and different explanations. In fact, Anaf Yosef says that Anaf Yosef brings that earlier in the previous parak when we had the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he's discussing with his wife, should he accept the Nisius? And she tells him, what if they fire you from it? And he says, it's worth it to use a Kosa de Mokra for one day. So Rashi over there explained that Kosa de Mokra just meant a cup of very expensive glass. So in other words, the idea is, Anaf Yosef says, maybe over here, the same thing. Kosa de Mokra just means a cup of glass that was very expensive. Kosa de Zogisa Chivauta specifically means that it was clear glass, which was even more expensive. In those days, it was relatively easy to make colored glass, but to make clear glass took an extra degree of technology that most people didn't have access to. Anyway, the Tava Kamayu, we broke it in front of them. The Yatsivu, and again, they were saddened by it. Another example, Omrele Rabbanan Labeira L'Rahamnuna Zuti, the Hilula de Ma Brei de Ravina, at the wedding of Ma Brei de Ravina, the same one that was saved, the same one that from Pashtus, the same one that we're just saying before, that he saw where everybody was overly happy and he broke a cup. By the same wedding, they told him, they told Rav Hamnuni Zutti, Lishri Lon Mar, sing for us a song. Now, so HaKosev actually says he wanted to avoid having to break a keli in front of them. Now, if we assume it was the same wedding, I guess we have to assume that either it was different times during the same wedding, or maybe one was by the wedding, one was during the Sheva Brachos or something. Whatever the case, HaKosev says he didn't want to have to use the extreme step of breaking a cup in front of them. So instead, he found he was going to do it another way. They invited him to sing a song, and he's going to sing them a song that puts everything in perspective. So he starts singing to them, Vailon de Misnan, Vailon de Misnan. Woe to us that we will die, woe to us that we will die. Why the double thing? Now, of course, the song, the Pashtus, you repeat things, but still, if the Gemara is going to the trouble of repeating it, shows that there's significance to it. That's what I was saying. Usually when you sing, you repeat the same words over and over, but still, the fact that the Gemara is quoting it shows that there's more significance to it than Stam, that it was a song where you repeat words. So Marsha explains there's two reasons why a person should, there's two things that a person accomplishes by realizing that eventually he's going to die. Number one is, we learned back in the first perek of this Masechta that La'olam yargiz adam yetzatov al yetzahara. You have to anger, you have to provoke your yetzatov over your yetzahara. And one way of conquering the yetzahara, one of the extreme methods is yazgul lo yamemisa, remind the yetzahara that eventually you're going to die, and therefore that helps put the yetzahara in his place. And then the second thing is that a person realizes that he has to constantly be doing tshuva. You have the line in Masechta Shabbos where they asked Rabbi Eliezer, where he says in Pirkei Avos, Shuv Yomecha Bifnei Misasach, and they asked him, a person never knows when they're going to die. What do you mean, Yomecha Bifnei Misasach? He means that's exactly what I mean. Every day a person should be doing tshuva because he never knows the next day might be his last day. So the Vailon de Misnan that Rav Hamnuni Zutti is singing twice is both of those, he's having both of those points in mind. So they ask him, what should we sing as the chorus after you? Which one meaning of that is, in other words, what should we add to that? You're singing that song to remind us of that. And by the way, Mefoshim point out, Maratz Chayas and a couple of other Achronim point out an interesting point, why such a song is appropriate by wedding. I mean, in this particular case, we're saying he wanted to help them keep their simcha within bounds, but he points out, they point out the chlal. I mean, the whole reason why people need to get married and have children is because the older generation eventually dies out. Had it been that everybody lives forever, like it was originally with Adam and Chava, there wouldn't necessarily be a need for people to get married and have children. So therefore, there really is a direct connection between one and the other. So they're asking him, What should we answer after you? In other words, what should we add to the song? So it's Yosef and Anaf Yosef discuss in some detail. One point that they're asking is, we said in the first perek that you have three things that you use to yargiz yetzatov al yetzahara. First, you learn Torah. Then, if that doesn't work, then you say Krishma. And then, if that still doesn't work, then you yazgul yom hamisa. So they're saying to him, you're going immediately to the third one. You're going to Yazkil or Yom HaMisa. What more can we add to that? What more can we add to that beyond what you're already getting to the extreme over there? So he answers them. The chorus would be E Torah, the E Mitzvah, the Bat Leminon. Woe to the Torah and woe to the Mitzvahs that will be bottled from us after 120. Ikadamri, another version, Hachi Kamalahu, he tells them the chorus should be Hey Torah, the Hey Mitzvah, where is the Torah and where are the Mitzvah, de Magnu Alon, that will protect us. Which means, in other words, again, so Marsha says that fits with, we're saying he's mentioning Yom HaMisa for these two purposes. So therefore, so we're saying that, we're saying as far as both those things, we're saying as far as Yasek Batorda, which is the first way of controlling the Yetzirah, and as far as doing mitzvahs with the Shuva, that's why he's mentioning to them Torah and mitzvah that will protect us. HaKosev says it differently. He says that now you have like this, I'm singing you a song, he's saying to them, I'm singing you a song about how a person is going to die, which that Now, many people, that can lead them to cry. That would be the idea, in order to temper your simcha. But after all, then you have, on the other hand, the tzaddikim, who've accomplished what they needed to in this world. They don't have to cry when they're leaving the world. They would be, the ultimate example being Rav Shimon Meyachoy, who was happy because he knows he's completed his avodah, and that's why we celebrate like Bar. So therefore, so he says that's the two lashonas in the Gemara over here. The first lashon is a lashon e Torah ve e mitzvah, is a lashon of regret. Woe to the Torah and mitzvahs that we're losing, that we no longer have the ability to do. The second one is more about the tzaddikim saying, where is the Torah, where is the mitzvah that protects us? Because we know we are in fact bringing our Torah and our mitzvahs with us to protect us and to bring us to Chaya Olam Haba. And then Anaf Yosef says, in keeping with what he was saying, that they're asking, what are we supposed to add? Once you're saying Yema Misa, what can be worse than that? He's saying, you want to know what's worse than that? Person leaves the world without Torah and mitzvahs. That's even worse. Bad enough that a person passed away, even worse if he's going without Torah and mitzvahs. Hey Torah, hey mitzvah, that a person should be saying at the end of his life, where is the Torah, where is the mitzvah that would protect me? That would be even sad. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon Yechoy. A person is not allowed to fill his mouth with laughter in Olam Hazeh. Fill his mouth with laughter, what pashtus means, like you have, you know, sometimes you have people like they throw their head back and they laugh, you know, Yeah, like you have, you know, look at some of these emojis that you have sometimes, you know, with a person opening their mouth wide and laughing. But pashtus, that's what we mean over here. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Oz then yimolis choyt pinu." Our mouths will be filled with laughter. Ol shenenu rina, and our tongues will be filled with song. And the pasuk and emasai, when is that going to be? As the pasuk continues, "Bizman sheyoyim rubagoyim higdol Hashem lasas emela." When the nations are saying Hashem has done great things with these people, but meaning in other words, not until then. So Marsha explains, in other words, if you only had the first half of the pasuk, now before you had the whole kapitel, but he says that part of the kapitel is talking really only about Golas Bavel. Hayunik Cholim was 70 years. You have the famous story with Choyne Amagol sleeping for 70 years, but after all, it wasn't a Gola Amitis Vashleim. So therefore, so it's not yet the time of Oz Yemolis Choyk Pinu. So we're saying, when is that time? When there's the future Gola, which hasn't happened yet. Then we'll really have Oz Yom Bagoyim Higdol Hashem Lasa Simela, and then we'll be able to be Oz Yomolik Schoik Pinu in the fullest sense. Now, you do have an interesting thing that the Rishonim argue about. What do we mean over here, Ba'olam Hazeh? Do we mean the problem is just that we're before the times of Mashiach, or do we mean the problem is that we're in Golos? So in the Torah, for example, it brings the problem is only during Golos. In other words, implying that according to him, when the Beis Mikdash is standing, then you're allowed to be Yomolik Schoik Pinu. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, it means b'chlal in olam hazeh, meaning any time after the chetei tzedas v'pashtus, all the way until Mashiach comes, is this time that we're talking about that you can't have yomolei schoik pinu. So in fact, the Taz points out, let's say it would come out, for example, according to the Torah, that let's say by simcha spe, now for sure, a simcha that's not a mitzvah, you have no business being yomolei schoik pinu regardless anyway. But for example, a simcha shal mitzvah in the time of the Beis Mikdash, simcha spes sheva, let's say, according to the Torah, that would be perfectly fine. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, even that not. And the Gemara says, "Amru all of Arish Lakish, Shemi Yom of Lemilis Choyk Piv, Ba'olam Hazeh, Miki Shoma Merab Yechon and Rabbi." They said about Rish Lakish that in his whole life, ever since he heard this statement from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechonan, never again was he Yimolis Choyk Piv. He never filled his mouth with laughter like that. Because now that Rabbi Yechonan said it, then Rish Lakish understood this is the halacha, this is how it's supposed to be. And therefore he stopped doing it. Going back now to davening and the mood that a person has to be in for davening, the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, hamispalot tzorach shechavenes libel shamayim." When a person is davening, Shemana Esrei in particular, he has to have kavana to shamayim, towards Hashem. Abba Sholem, a simon ladover, a simon for that is the pasuk and tell him, "Tochen libam takshiv oznecha." You will prepare their heart and your ear will listen. So in other words, it has to be if their heart, so tochen, now tochen can mean you will prepare their heart, that in other words, addressing Hashem, that you will help them have kavana, but it can also mean their heart will be prepared. Rashi seems to understand it the second way. If their heart is prepared, then takshiv oznecha, then your ear, Hashem, will listen to their tefillas. So different mafoshim explain why it is that it's only a simon, One thing Eitz Yosef brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, because primarily the kavana that we're talking about in the pasuk is not so much the kavana of the words of davening, but rather the kavana, like we talked about yesterday, about koyved rosh. Rabbeinu Yonah understood that it meant to clear, that a person needs to clear his mind of the tanuga olam hazeh. So therefore, it primarily means that. And for that, you need help from Hashem. Tochen libam, you Hashem, will help and prepare your heart. So you can't say necessarily when we're saying shechavanis libel shemayim, which implies that a person has to have kavana on the words of davening. There's only a simon for it in the pasuk, but not that it says it flat out. Continuing on how a person should daven, the Gemara says, Tanya Omer Rabbi Yehuda, kachoyim in hoge shel Rabbi Akiva. This is how Rabbi Akiva would do when he was davening Shemoneh Esrei. Kshehoyim espaul imatzibur, when he was davening together with the tzibur, he would make his davening short and he would finish up because of the tircha of the tzibur. Because after all, the chazan is supposed to wait for the rav or for the greatest person in the community over there before he begins chazaras hashatz. So if Rabbi Akiva was davening at great length, then it would be a tircha. It would be a bother for the tzibur to have to wait. What does it mean? Now it doesn't mean, of course, they would shorten Shemoneh Esrei. It means that he would. Again, Eitz Yosef brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, doesn't mean he would shorten Shemoneh Esrei. Of course, the Nusach of Shemoneh Esrei is the Nusach. It means that he wouldn't spend so much time with Tachnunim at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, like where we say on the Kain Netzer, and the Brachas themselves, the words themselves of Shemoneh Esrei, he would say relatively quickly rather than taking his time having Kavana over there. On the other hand, when he was davening alone, then you could leave him, you could see at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, he's in one corner of the room, and by the time you come back later on, you'd find he's in the other corner. Why? Why is he moving from one corner to another? Because of all the bowing and prostrating that he was doing during Shemoneh Esrei, where he would end up moving around. You have to realize, I mean, nowadays, when we bow by Shemoneh Esrei, we bend our knees, we bow our back, we don't actually prostrate ourselves on the floor. In earlier times, they used to do that. The Gemara mentions in Megillah that an Odom Choshev shouldn't do it unless he's sure that the Eivishter is going to answer him like Yeshua ben Nun, but the Rabbi Akiva, of course, is of that caliber. So when he's doing Kriyas V'Shtachavoyas, it means he's honestly bowing on the floor and prostrating himself on the floor, and therefore he'd end up moving around from one place to another. Tosfos actually brings up the point, how there's only four times you bow during Shemoneh Esrei. How is he moving around? How is he moving around so much? And so one answer Tosfos says is that you are allowed to, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, you are allowed to bow in the middles of the brachas. We had, for example, in the morning halacha that we say here after Shacharis the other day, we had something about that with Moedim Derabanan, that when the chazan gets to Moedim Derabanan, and you happen to be in the middle of a bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, go ahead and bow with the tzibur, and you should, so that it doesn't look like everybody else is bowing to Hashem and as if you don't believe in it, chas v'shalom. Only if you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, only if you're in the middle of one of the brachas. But if you're at the beginning or the end of one of the brachas, then you shouldn't, because there's only the two. There's only the four places: the beginning and end of Avos, and the beginning of and end of Moedim, where the Chachamim made the takana to bow, and you're not allowed to bow at the beginnings and ends of any of the other brachas. Anyway, so Tosfos says, evidently based on this story of Rabbi Akiva, it would come out, you are allowed to bow in the middles of the brachas. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would do that. The other possibility Tosfos says is maybe it means doing the tachnunim that he would say after Shemoneh Esrei. Then of course, he can bow as much as he wants. So he would wind up going from one, end up going from one corner or the other to the room without even realizing it.
The idea he wants to bring over here, they're not davening Shemoneh Esrei, but davening Bechlali, it takes a long time.
Right. Well, but primarily when the Gemara uses the word mispalo, usually it means Shemoneh Esrei.
Yeah,
Well, but it means specific. It means more particularly Shemoneh Esrei. There is actually a Chassidish Maisa on this. It's printed in Tzipori Chassidim, where one time there was a Chassidish Rebbe. I think it was the Sora from Tzirlis, but I don't remember for sure. Anyway, he was davening very much Barichos, and afterwards somebody asks him, "What about Tirucha de Tzibura?" After all, we see Rabbi Akiva was worried about Tirucha de Tzibura. So he answers, listen, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. You think among those 24,000, you couldn't find 10 who are willing to sit, to stand there while he's davening Barichos? So what do you mean that when he's davening with Tzibur, he would have to hurry up? So he explained it differently. When Rabbi Akiva is davening with the Tzibur, meaning the Tzibur is also davening the way they're supposed to, then Rabbi Akiva can daven relatively quickly. But when he's davening b'yichidus, meaning he's in the shul with thousands of other people, but he's the only one who's actually taka davening, then he taka has to daven at great length. He has to be milo all their tefillahs as well. The Gemara continues. Amar Abchiya Ba'aba, La'olam yispawa odam b'bayis shiyash b'chaloinas. A person should always daven in a room that has windows. We find by Daniel, you have the story in Sefer Daniel where the other ministers of the king are jealous of Daniel. They're trying to get him in trouble with Dariush, so they come up with an idea to have Dariush pass a law that nobody for the next 30 days, anybody who has any petition has to present it to the king. You're not allowed to ask anybody else or any god or anything. And they catch him. Of course, they know Daniel's not going to listen. They catch him davening and they haul him off to the king and have him thrown into the lion's den. So the Pasuk mentions that Daniel had windows open in his house where he was davening. So we see that there's an inyan to have the windows open. And the idea is, because that way you can look up at the Shemayim in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions actually really when you're davening in Shemana Esri, we learned this before, you're supposed to be looking downward. If in the olden days you didn't have a siddur, then you're just looking downward and then keeping your eyes closed. And nowadays you daven with a siddur, so fine, you look down at the siddur. But if for whatever reason your kavana is nisbatel, if during Shemana Esri you start getting distracted, then you can refocus yourself by looking out the windows at Shemayim. So there's a point to have that. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings from the Zohar that preferably there should be 12 windows and they should be distributed around the shul. Lamaisa, of course, you know, depending how a shul is built, you have here, for example, two sides where it's impossible to have windows, but that's the nature of things. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues. Now there's a number of other dinim of Shemana Esrei that we learn from that story of Daniel and also from other psukim in Tanakh. You would think that a person can daven all day long. Now, to a certain extent, that's true. We do say halavai yispal adam kolayim kolay, but that's only if he's going to be mechadish something in each tefillah. You can't just daven a Shemana Esrei where you've already davened that particular tefillah unless you can be mechadish something in it. And in fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch nowadays that would be a tefillas nedava. And in fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch nowadays you shouldn't do that. Who can honestly say that they're even mechaven on the regular Shemana Esrei, much less that they're going to have kavana for a tefillas nedava? Anyway, you would think that, so Ma'ar Shor explains, the Gemara is saying, you would think that a person has reshus to daven all day if he wants. We see in that same story with Daniel, where it mentions the point specifically that three times a day he was davening. And the point is, in other words, Ma'ar Shor says, even though now Daniel had extra reason to daven, they were still in Golus. We find later on in Sefer Daniel where he was fasting and davening tremendous tefillas to ask the Eibishter to take us out of Golus. Some of those when we have in Vohu Rachum on Mondays and Thursdays, and when we have in Slichas Daniel Shchamudas Shiva Lefanecha, the psukim that we quote, they are a part of his tefillah. Anyway. So even though he had tremendous reasons to daven much more than usual, nevertheless, he limited himself to the three daily tefillos. So we see that that's the right way to do that. Continues the Gemara, Yochum Mishabola Goyla Huchama. You would think maybe he only started davening three times a day only when he went into Golos. No, Kvar Nema, the Pasuk says, Dehava Ovid Mit Kadmas Dino. He was doing this from beforehand. Now, the beforehand, of course, doesn't mean that before the ministers came up with their plot. There's no chiddush in that. Of course, the whole reason they figure they can get him is because they know he's been davening all this time. So if the Pasuk makes a point of mentioning that he was doing this beforehand, it has to mean before he ever was taken into Golos 50 years earlier or however long, 50 or 60 or whatever it is years earlier. Next, you would think that a person can daven in whatever direction he wants. Which we learned in the previous parak that not, you're supposed to daven in the direction of Yerushalayim. No, Talmud Lema, lo kovel neged Yerushalayim. Neged Yerushalayim is actually what it says in the Pasuk. But he was davening opposite Yerushalayim, meaning that he was in Bavel or in Shushan or wherever he was at the time, and he was davening in the direction of Yerushalayim. Marsha, by the way, points out, I mean, when we daven, we don't specifically daven in the direction of Yerushalayim. We learned in the previous parak that you daven in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, he was living in Bavel. Relatively speaking, Bavel is not that far from Eretz Yisrael, so it's possible to calculate things carefully enough and actually be able to face Yerushalayim proper. Whereas, for example, when you're living, for example, in Europe or in America or whatever, where you're much further away, then the less barrier you're facing Yerushalayim as a whole. Incidentally, worth mentioning in that connection, there is an interesting discussion about the question. What is the actual direction to daven in towards Yerushalayim? You know, like this, we're always used to daven towards Mizrach. The fact is, that the fact is, if you take a globe and put a string on it between New York and Yerushalayim, for example, you'll find that it actually goes northward. It goes along the coast of North America, and then it curves and goes over the Atlantic. When you fly to Eretz Yisrael, by the same token, planes take the same route because it actually is shorter. It's called the Great Circle route. So there is an argument that maybe that should be the direction you daven in. And in fact, if you look in the Alter Rebbe, if you look in Siman Tzadik Daled, where the Alter Rebbe discusses these dinim, he seems to be saying as much. He seems to be saying that you calculate the Great Circle route rather than just taking a flat map and drawing a line on it. So it would come out, according to that, here in New York, we ought to be davening more or less northward or northeastward. Lamaise, you don't see people doing that. Lamaise, everybody assumes that you just daven eastward. And the fact is, of course, directly eastward is not right either. If you go directly eastward from New York, you're not getting to Eretz Yisrael anyway. You're getting to Turkey or something. But so really, in any case, it should be slightly south. So according to that, anyway, even if you were using a flat map, it should be slightly southeast. But according to that, maybe their tactic would be a reason to daven more to the northeast, because that would be the actual shortest path on a map. Anyway, there's a lot of ink has been spilled on that point, but it's an interesting point to consider. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Yochu yehei kolon b'basachas. You would think that you would think that you can combine all the tefillas together. So in other words, so we learned before, you have to have three tefillas. Connected, we learned in the previous perek, connected Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, connected the various tzmidim, but still you would think that you could just bunch them up one after the other. No, Kvam Afurash Al Yed David, there you have a pasuk from David that says clearly otherwise. Dichtiv, Erev Avoyke V'tzaraim. He says in the evening and the morning, and in the afternoon, Asicha V'emes. So we see that there's a particular inyan to have those three times. And now with that said, we're going to have, for example, the Hayom Yom 2 days from now mentions Rabbi Kusiel Lepler, where sometimes he would daven Shachris Mincha Maida back to back, but that wasn't because he's bunching them up together. That was because by the time he finished Shachris with all his Kavonis and everything, it was already time for Mincha, and by the time he finished Mincha with everything, it was already time for Maida. We're not talking about that. Next, Yochol Yashmiya Koyle B'Tfilah. So you would think when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, maybe he should make his voice heard, he should daven loudly. No, Kvam Afurash Ayideh Chan. There we have, otherwise, we're told by Chana, where the Pasuk says that her voice was not heard, which soon the Gemara is going to start analyzing in great detail that story of Chana and learning a lot of halachas and things from it. Continues the Gemara, Yochu Yishal Odom Tzracha V'Achakach Yispalo. You would think that maybe a person can ask for his needs and then daven. In other words, Mispalo would mean to... Yispalo would be to say the brachas. It actually explains the first three brachas, which are shevach, which are praise to Hashem. So you would think the order could be that first you ask for everything you need, atachonin and hashivenu and the rest of them, and then you praise Hashem. No, kram b'furash ayidei Shloimeh. There we have Shloimeh tells us otherwise. Shenema in his tefillah by the Chanukah Sabayis, he says l'shmoya ala rina ve'ala tefillah. He asks Hashem to listen to the rina and the tefillah. So, rina zutfila, the word rina, which means crying out, or actually it means more singing out, it means more singing out, zutfila, this refers to what we think of as tefila, namely the shevach, the praise of Hashem. Tefila zubakosha. And when he says, then the tefila, that means the requests that you're asking from Hashem. So Marsha explains that Marsha explained now there's actually a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that actually discusses this and brings a different pasuk where it sounds like you should where it sounds like you should ask from your needs from Hashem first. But our Gemara is mentioning this pasuk. And he's saying that there is, in fact, a difference. Tefillah can mean in Loshon HaKosuv, usually it means it would mean to petition for what you need. In the Loshon of the Gemara, it means more shevach. So he explains that since you have the earlier in that same pasuk, he mentions that Hashem should listen. So therefore, we see also clearly from that it means you have to have shevach first and then tchina, where tchina unequivocally means to beg Hashem for what you need. So now the Gemara the Braisa finishes off. Ein Omer Dvar Bakosha Acha Emes V'Yatziv. Now, if you have to ask something from Hashem of your needs, you don't say it after Emes V'Yatziv at the beginning of Shemana Esrei. You say it during Shemana Esrei. Aval acha tefila. So after davening, afilu kaseder shall kaseder vidu shall yema kippurim oimer. If even if you want to say you have a long petition that you want to ask Hashem at the time after Yiru L'Ratzin, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you want to even put in something over there as long as what we say on Yom Kippur, then you can do that. Itmar Nami, and there was said also a statement of Amiroyim, Amir Abchir Ba'ashi Amirab, Afbi Sha'amur Shoyal Adam Tzrachav V'Shemeh Tefillah, even though the Chachamim told us that a person can ask for his needs in Shemeh Tefillah, that would be only something relatively brief. So in Shemeh Tefillah, it has to be something relatively short. But in Ba Loima Achat Filosa, Filo Kaseder, Shemeh Kippurim, but after Shemoneh Esrei, after the 19 brachas, if you want to say something long, even as long as what we say in Yom Kippur, Oimer, then you can say it at that point. And that's the halacha. That is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So you are allowed, we've mentioned this before, that you are allowed to add short things in each of the brachas of davening that are appropriate to that bracha. You actually have some sidurim where they actually print, for example, in Refa'inu, they'll have as a footnote or something over there, a tefillah that you can say. If there's somebody sick, then you can add it, and they give you a nusach to add. Baruch Aleinu is something for Parnosa, and similar things are sometimes for the other brachas as well. And then Shemak Aleinu would be a catch-all for everything. But all of those have to be relatively short. You shouldn't have that your personal tefillah is going to be longer than the bracha that the Chacham set up. But after Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying you can add as much as you want. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Hamnuna, Kama hilchas gavra vasa ikala mishma mahani kroy dechana. Look how many great, tremendous halachas we can learn from the psukim regarding in the story of Chana. Now, not all of them do we have to learn exclusively from here. Some of them we can learn from other places as well. Marsha points out, we just said before, we learned some of them from Daniel and from David HaMelech and so forth, but we see them expressed in the story of Chana. So, first of all, V'chana himida beres al-libah, the pasuk says Chana was speaking on her heart, meaning that her heart was involved in her tefillah. So we see from that a person has to have kavanah with their heart when they daven. Like we said before, tzarech sheichavenes libah l'shamayim. Raks vaseha nois, when the pasuk says that only her lips were moving, mikanlam espalot tzarech sheyaftech b'sfasav. From there we learn a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, they need to actually express the words with their lips. It's not enough to just think it verbally, you actually have to say it out. And the Alter Rebbe explains in various places in Tanya the deeper reason behind that, because you can't just have that moichin is involved. You have to have the gashmius of the world involved, and that implies and that implies that you're moving your lips. Next, the koila lo yishama. When the pasuk continues, the koila lo yishamea, her voice was not heard. Mikan lemispalo shalayashmiya koila b'tfilasei or shalosa lagbiya koila b'tfilasei. From there, we learn that a person davening Shemoneh Esrei, they're not allowed to make their voice heard. They say it in a whisper so that only they themselves hear. The pasuk continues, vayachshaver Eli v'shikoda, that Eli thought that she was drunk. Mikan shashikor also lemispalo. From there, we learn that when a person is drunk, they're not allowed to daven. They're not going to be able to have kavan. So the pasuk continues. The next pasuk is Eli says to her, "How long are you going to be drunk?" If you see somebody else acting improperly, then you have to tell them off. You have to give them musa for it. Now we have that in the pasuk. Pasuk in Chumash. So Tosfos points out, here we're talking about even something which is not flat out osur. If it's flat out osur, then of course you have a mitzvah of teichicha in the Torah. Here we're talking about something which is not. It's just a bad midah, and therefore, nevertheless, so we learn from this story with Chana that you're supposed to still give the person teichicha about it. And when the pasuk continues, vatan. So far, those are various halachas that we learn from the story. Now the Gemara, in the middle, we have something which is not a halacha, but we're going through the psukim in order. So the Gemara mentions a drasha on it, and then we're going to go back to halachas. Batan chana vachemel lo yadoni. She answers and she says, "No, my master." So now she continues in the pasuk and she says that I've had a very hard time. Yain v'sheicha lo shasisi. Don't think that I've drunk wine or strong drink. So why is she saying at the beginning lo yadoni? Let her just say Adoni isha k'shas ruach hanoichi. Why the loy? Omer ulavi temer Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina. Omer loy. It means that she's telling Eli loy odin ata b'dover zeh. You are not my master when it comes to this thing. the Lord Ruach HaKodesh Shoda Alecha, and the Ruach HaKodesh is not resting on you, Shatechesh Deni B'davar Zeh, that you are suspecting me of this. Because if you actually had Ruach HaKodesh, then you would know that what I'm doing is not that I'm drunk, but rather that I'm davening sincerely to the Eibishter.
What does mean Lo
Yadonata? Lo Yadonata means you're not my master. In other words, you're not on the level that you're supposed to be on. He doesn't have the level of Ruach HaKodesh. Keep in mind, Chana herself is one of the Nevi'ahs. Now, by the way, so Marsha points out like this. Rashi explains what made Eli think that she was drunk in the first place. So Rashi says because they weren't used to davening quietly. Marsha says, what are you talking about? The whole sugya over here was saying you're supposed to daven Shemoneh Esrei quietly. So what's the problem? So rather, Marsha says that she was davening for so long. So he figured, you know, like you have a shikur a lot of times starts talking and babbling and talking endlessly. So he thought that she's like that also. In fact, Marsha brings from a medrash that the fact that she davened so long actually ended up causing that Shmuel's life was shorter than it otherwise would. So he brings from a medrash, Ayudesha Hirgisa B'Tfila, because she Davin for so long, through that Kitzra Yom of Shal Shmuel, through that she shortened Shmuel's life. What the connection is, I don't know. But that's Marsha brings that from a medrash. Anyway, so she's answering Eli that I have to daven at length because Isha Shasruach Anoichi, I've been, as we've learned at the beginning of the parak, she's been very bitter in spirit with everything that she's gone through. And therefore, she has a valid reason for davening. There's a couple of other achronim talk about various other angles. What Eli was thinking about why he was thinking she's drunk in the first place. One point is that yes, you daven quietly when you're davening with tzibur because you don't want to distract the rest of the tzibur. But there's no tzibur over there. So what's she doing? So he thought therefore that he thought she doesn't know what she's doing and she's drunk. There's a famous sicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it, that he knew full well she has every good reason to be davening over there and to be davening silently and so on and so forth. But he's asking her, today is Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to be focused on Meloich HaOlam Kula B'Chvedecha, on recrowning the Eibishter as king. What are you doing davening for your own needs? You're drunk with gashmius, he's telling her. And she answers him that, no, I'm asking for a son that I'm going to dedicate to the Eibishter. So that I'm not davening for myself, I'm davening to be able to accomplish what I need to in the world for the Eibishter. Anyway, so she tells him, Loi Adonata B'davar Zeh, you're not my master in this thing. V'loi Ruach HaKodesh, Shora Alecha. Ruach HaKodesh is obviously not resting on you. Shatechesh Deni B'davar Zeh, that you're suspecting me of such a thing, of being drunk when I'm nothing of the sort. Ikadamri Hochi Omrele. Another version is that she's saying to him with the Loy Adoni, she's saying in as a rhetorical question, Loy Odin Ata B'davar Zeh, aren't you supposed to be the master in this kind of thing? Loy Ika Shchina V'Ruach HaKodesh Kabach, isn't there the Shchina and the Ruach HaKodesh by you? And instead, should Antoni Lakaf Choyva V'Loy Antoni Lakaf Schus, that you're judging me badly and you're not judging me favorably? Milo Yadata De'ishak Shas Ruach HaNoichi. Don't you realize that I'm a woman of a very hard and bitter spirit, and that's why I'm davening for so long? Eon Yaakov, by the way, later on in the sugya mentions another point also why Avi thought that she was drunk. Like this, the din is we learned in the previous parak that when a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, well, actually we learned a different thing, but anyway, that when a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're not supposed to walk in front of them. So now, if she's standing there a long time davening, eventually Eli has to pass through, so it would be derech eretz to finish up davening so you can go through, and she's not, and therefore Eli suspected that she's doing something wrong. Anyway, so now she's telling him that you're supposed to have Ruach HaKodesh. What do you think you're doing? There is a famous explanation in that regard from the Vilna Gaon that says we know when the Kohen Gadol would ask the Urim B'Tumim, the letters would light up, and then it takes Ruach HaKodesh to determine what the order of the letters is, what order to put the letters in that light up. So like this, when he sees that she's standing there davening at some length, he was curious, he asks the Urim B'Tumim, he gets back the letters Chof, he gets back the letters Hey, Chof, Resh, and Shin. And he arranged those letters, he thought that those letters arranged to spell the word Shikoda. So therefore, that's why he called her out and thought that she's drunk. And she answers him, no, you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. If you had Ruach HaKodesh, you would realize the letters are supposed to be Chof, Shin, Resh Hey, which can either spell out Kis Sarah, meaning that this woman is like Sarah, barren for many years and davening for a child, or Ksheira, that she's a kosher woman. So if you had Ruach HaKodesh, you would realize what's going on. So if you didn't and you misarranged the letters, then it shows you don't have Ruach HaKodesh.
Very strong, man.
Yeah.
Only a woman.
So she continues, yeah. She continues, V'yayin v'sheicha loisha sisi. She continues, I haven't drunk wine or strong drink, meaning Omer Rabbi Elazar, mikan l'choish dinoisa or l'nechshed b'davar she'ein v'ein boy. From here we learn another din that if a person is suspected of something and in fact he's not guilty of it, shetzarech l'hoidiyai, the person who was suspected has to inform the other person in order to cleanse himself of it. So like this, Eli suspects that she is drunk. She can't just brush it off. She has to actually inform him, no, in fact, I'm not drunk. Don't suspect me of that. We learn a halacha of that. In fact, you have a pasuk in Chumash that says "Ve'yisim nekiyim me'Hashem u'Yisrael" that expresses that idea that it's not just good enough to be clean in Hashem's eyes; you also have to be as much as possible clean in other people's eyes. That it shouldn't be that people are choshed you of something improper. She continues, "Al titin es amoschal lefnei bas b'yal." She continues, "Don't make your maidservant, meaning me." To be as if I was a bas blial, but blial is from the word bli oil, meaning a person who doesn't have the yoke of yiras shemayim. So don't think that I'm such a person. From here we learn that if a person davens when he's drunk, it's as if he's worshiping avodah zarah. And we see that by an irani dachas, it uses the same word blial to mean people to mean rishoyim who are going and convincing the people of the city to worship avodah zarah. So malahalan avodah kechavim, afkan avodah kechavim. So the same way she's telling Eli, don't suspect me of being over avodah zarah by davening when I'm drunk. Why would it be like avodah zarah? So the Rashba over here explains because when a person is drunk, They're not thinking clearly. So the same way, in other words, al derech hakav between Oru Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So the same way, when a person is davening, when they're drunk, they may get mixed up and they're going to think wrong thoughts about what the Ibishta is, and so forth. And that is tantamount to avodah zarah. So then the Gemara finishes off, but when the pasuk continues, Vayan Eli Vayomer L'chila Shalom, Eli tells her, go in peace. From here we learn that if a person did like this, where he suspects somebody unjustly of something that they in fact did not do, you have to appease them with words, you have to ask them the chila. Not only that, you have to give them a bracha, namely that Eli continues, Hashem should grant you what you're asking for. So we see, in other words, one point is, in other words, that if it was just that he's telling her go in peace, in other words, go gizum to hate, then he would have put it at the end. He would have first given her the bracha that the Eibishter should fulfill your request, and then he would tell her, okay, now that you've had that, then l'chila shalom, go home in peace. The fact that he says it the other way around, the l'chila shalom, we learn from that, therefore, is him appeasing her, is him trying to make her feel better after having been choshed b'kshem. And then on top of that, he has to additionally give her a bracha, which is what the Gemara says what he did by saying by the case your yitin as shelosik. Yom yom Mashiach go'ola for Chavtes Cheshven. Rebbe talked about that in order to bring about the revelation and the coming of Mashiach, take of Miyad, every single yid has to increase, especially in Limanat Torah, especially in Inyonim Mashiach Gola. And more so, as is Pasha, to increase in keeping mitzvahs behidr, especially the hidr of mitzvahs atzdaka, which after all, mitzvahs atzdaka encapsulates all the other mitzvahs and is makarevas sagola. And then the Rebbe continues to kedai v'nochon, to join together, to tie together this increase in tzedakah with an increase in Torah and Yonim Mashiach Geula, namely that you're giving extra tzedakah with the Kavanah to bring the Geula closer. And that way, that Kavanah itself is part of learning Torah and Yonim Geula. We started yesterday on Halachas about drinking wine and the Dinim HaTov HaMeitiv. So we know that if you eat bread, then it patters all the other foods that you drink, that you eat during the meal. The same way, If you're drinking wine, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says if you kaveya yourself, like you decided you're going to sit down together with people and have wine together, and the Alter Rebbe says not even if you're not kaveya, then it potters all the other drinks from bracha rishona and bracha achrona, only if those drinks were there when you made the bracha on the wine, or at least you had in mind to drink them. If you didn't have them and you're das at all, then it's a suffix. The Alter Rebbe in fact says that in that case you would in fact say shakol on the other drinks. So therefore, better in that case, what you do is, so according to the Alter Rebbe, it's just you say shakol, and that's the end of it. According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, what you should better do is make the bracha achrona on the wine, and then drink the other drink, or else make a bracha on some food, which is shakol, because after all, the food is not covered by the wine, and then you can drink the shakol drink as well.